Well, today we're going to get back into the Bible. We're in the book of Genesis, so if you have your Bibles, turn to that. We're in chapter 2, as I clean up my mess here. Okay, we're in chapter 2 of Genesis, and I want to just review quickly what we did the last couple of weeks with the overarching theme of the Bible, the four parts of the Bible that are there. Do you remember what they were? What's the first part? Creation. That the first theme in the Bible is creation. That's Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and it actually carries on many times thematically throughout the Bible. Then there's a second part of the major themes of the Bible, and what is that? The fall. That's what we're going to talk about today. That is Genesis chapter 3, and then, so you have creation, fall, and what's the third one? Redemption. That begins in Genesis chapter 3. That is the redemption by God to people to return us back to the original creation. We're going to talk a lot about that in the coming weeks of time. And then the fourth one is what? Restoration. The restoration of it all that occurs ultimately and finally in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. It begins individually as people believe in Jesus Christ and have a renewed relationship because of the redemption of Christ after we have all sinned, the fall from after the creation. So that gets us thinking about it. We're right here today in the fall. So we're going to start with Genesis chapter 2, but I'm only going to use that as a transition to get us into Genesis chapter 3, because we could spend weeks and weeks and weeks on all these subjects, but we don't have that ability to do it when we're just spending a few minutes each week together. But you should be studying it and looking at it. But let me give you some thoughts about Genesis chapter 2, which transitions us from creation to Genesis chapter 3, which is the fall. So Genesis 2 brings us across from the creation to the fall. So let me give you some thoughts, and they're all couched in either the word one or the word two. One or two. You get it? It's really simple. One or two. Let's start very quickly. The first part of Genesis chapter 2 is about one Sabbath day. At the end of the creation, it was 6 days God created the world, and on the seventh, it says that he rested. It was a Sabbath. It was a time to worship God. It was a time to rest. God didn't need to rest because he was tired out. God chose to rest to show to us that we needed a time of rest. And there is a huge aspect of that that we can't go into right now, but to understand the importance of worship, the importance of silence and solitude, the importance of some of the spiritual disciplines that surround our time alone with God and our ability to communicate with God, and it all comes around this concept of Sabbath. So that's number one. Number two, or the second one, I should say, not to confuse us, is there's one garden in chapter 2. One garden. You remember the name? The Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden. Now, it describes the Garden of Eden in chapter 2, and I know what all of you are going to ask me, because I've had it asked last week, and you're going to come to me, so I'm going to answer the question before you ask it. Where was the Garden of Eden? Where was it? Can I tell you where it is? Was? We have no idea. We have no idea. And you can read, and people are going to say, well, it must have been near the Amazon because of the lushness, or it must have been in Mesopotamia because that's where much of the cradle of the Bible story is, or it must have been up in Europe because it's so beautiful up there. No, it must have been down in Africa because of whatever. And no, it must have been in the East because of the spices and some of the great minerals that are in the East of Asia. We have no idea. And the reason we have no idea is, number one, it was destroyed. Number two is there was a flood, which we're going to talk about, which recreated the earth plates. So we don't know the construction or the reality of the geography prior to Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9, where the flood is. We don't know pre that where everything is located. There's four rivers in the Garden of Eden that lead into it. Two of them still are named to this day. So people say, well, it must be near them. But we're really not sure if that's where it is, the Tigris and the Euphrates. They do still exist. But there was one garden, Garden of Eden. So we have a Sabbath day, a Garden of Eden. Now let's go to two. there were two people in the garden. The two people in the garden were Adam and Eve. That's easy. So that's why we're not going to spend a lot of time with this. And it says God formed them and God breathed into them. God formed them, he made them, he breathed into them life. This is what he did to both Adam and Eve. Now, in this garden were a lot of things, but there were two main trees that are mentioned. So we have one Sabbath, one garden, two people, two trees. Now, there were hundreds of trees, probably thousands of trees and shrubs, but there are two main trees mentioned in it, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do you remember that? The tree of life was the tree that if they ate it, they would continue to live, and it kind of gave them life and continuance of life. And you're going to say, how does that all work? And I've got to tell you, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. I've read all about it. I've studied all about it. It's mentioned here. It's mentioned in Proverbs. It's mentioned in the book of Revelation. The tree of life is coming back at the end. It was there at the creation. It's going to be there at the restoration. So the tree of life is very important, and they were allowed to eat it. Then there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was there. And what was about that tree? They were not allowed to eat it. So there were two conditions that were in this garden. Condition number one was permission. Permission. They were allowed to eat of everything, including the tree of life. They were allowed to do everything they wanted to do in the garden. And then there was a tree of prohibition. There was one tree that they were not allowed to do anything with. They were not allowed to eat it specifically, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. And then the last thing in chapter 2 is one marriage. One marriage. Now, we're going to talk about marriage in a couple of weeks, so I'm not going to talk about marriage today, but marriage was key in chapter 2. A marriage was established before the church was established, before Israel and Abraham was established. Marriage is from the very beginning. There's creation, there's marriage. Marriage is something that's very important to God, and we'll talk about that in the coming weeks. It's alluded to here, it's spoken about here in the end of chapter 2, but I'm not going to speak about it today. We're going to do that in a couple of weeks, the first week, actually, the weekend of the marriage seminar. We're going to do that on that Sunday. We'll talk about marriage as well and kind of get some context on that. Now let's go to chapter 3. Open your Bibles. I just gave you a quick overview of chapter 2, which transitions us and the story in chapter 3. And let me just give it to you. There was one sin. One sin. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the trees, of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the tree from the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it.'" She added a little commentary there, "lest you die." God said, "If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Verse 5, if you're underlining anything in your iPad or your phone or your actual written Bible, this is the one to underline. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God." What is the sin that they did? The sin that they did was, of course, disobeying God, but it was because they were enticed to believe that they could become God. Do you see that? Now you go, this is really ultimately unfair. So let me just bring it down here to Boca Raton. We have a campus of 20 acres, and I am going to give it to you. This campus is 20 acres. You know we have walk-in freezers and refrigerators. There's more food here because we feed 750 kids a day. We have more food here than we know what to do with. It's all yours. We have air conditioning. We have 102 bathrooms here. There's enough bathrooms for everybody. We have showers here. We have air conditioning here. We have all kinds of vehicles here. You want a four-wheel drive? We've got it. You want golf carts? We've got it. You want pickup trucks? We've got it. You want anything? You want to play football? We've got it. You want to play basketball? We've got it. It's all yours. You want to play with all the electronics and fiddle with everything? We've got it. Recording studio? We've got it. But can I just tell you, don't play that piano. Don't play that piano. We have five other pianos here. We have three other grand pianos here. You can play them all day long. Don't play that piano. Don't go near it. Don't play it. Don't anything. You can do anything you want on this campus. It's yours. We gave it. It's yours. Now, is that unfair? I've given you pianos, I've given you food, I've given you everything, but I've said, do not eat or do not touch or whatever word you want to use here. Do not play this piano, because if you play this piano, it's all over. And that's what this is about. So what happens? One day they're in here fiddling around with everything else, and there's someone sitting at the piano and who's playing it beautifully and holding it beautifully. And they said, come on over. And you come on over to the piano. And this person says, play the piano. Bill said, I can't play the piano. I can do anything here but play the piano. What does Bill know? It's ultimately unfair that you can't play this piano. Do you see the point here? We think it's unfair that God prohibited one thing. Now, the question you're going to ask is, why did God prohibit one thing? Now, it's one thing. In this huge garden, and we don't know how big it was. It probably could be walked across in one day, we kind of feel. So it could be miles by miles. It's huge. But there's only one thing you can't do is you can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that's in the center. He showed him. There it is. You don't have to guess where it is. There it is. Why? We talked about it last week. The why is this. We were created in the image of God. And when we were created in the image of God, it means many things, but two main things. One is we are creations and we are persons. God created us in the image of God, which means we are created. We are dependent on God. I spoke about this last week if you weren't here. But we're also persons, which means we are independent of God. We have personality, we have character, we have being, we have all the things around it, the ability to talk, communicate, fellowship, some of the things that Gajendra was talking about. We have all that ability to do because we are independent from each other and we are technically independent from God. We're made in the image of God, so we're created from God, so we're dependent and independent. And God wanted to see, I give you everything. You don't need the food. Work is not evil. Work is good. So they were working it, but you just can't eat of this one. Because he wanted to see if they would trust him. Do you trust me? I will give you everything you need. You do not need this. And we don't know if it was a day later, a week later, a month later, a year later, 5 years later. We have no idea how long they lived in the garden, but at one point in time, they succumbed and they ate. And that began the beginning of the end. Because when they ate, they disobeyed God. And what the disobedience was, they fell for Satan's lie that we can become like God. Isn't that amazing? We can become like God. And what happened? Let's go back to it. So when the woman, verse 6, saw the tree, was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was Oh, it's her fault. Fault. Both did it. So it's not like one obeyed and one disobeyed. No, they both fell. Then the eyes of both, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves into. Shame, just good old-fashioned shame. And part of the shame of the sin was the reality that they were naked, so they tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves. You know, we've seen the photos, right, of fig leaves. It just doesn't work. Now, this probably occurred somewhere around lunchtime because she was probably hungry because he enticed her with food. Now, God would come in the middle of the evening to have conversation with them so that trying to sew these fig leaves together. Full of the day, so it's now 6, 7. Felt shame and shame. So try to hide from God. Naked. Who told you you were naked? They told themselves because they ate from the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Good and evil they knew. Clear as can be. She gave me the fruit. Good things beget. If you're on a bad road, you got to get off that road. So he sins the big sin. I mean, wife. The man said, the woman you gave to me, and deceived me, and I ate. And the fall occurred. And what did God do with the fall? He cursed. When you and I curse, it's bad. We should not be cursing. We don't have the ability to curse. That's not our job to curse. God can curse. Now, God doesn't use his own name to curse like we, you know, people here, we use God's name to curse, but he cursed. He cursed the serpent. He cursed the earth. He cursed the woman. He cursed the man. He cursed everything. It was the fall. The fall occurred. Everything fell. It's not just Adam and Eve fell. It's not just the serpent. Now, here's another question you're going to ask. How could they have a talking snake? That's a great question. Here's the thing. Number one, if it was so soon after the creation, maybe they didn't know that animals weren't supposed to talk, right? I mean, or two, maybe animals back then did talk. I don't know. I have no idea. Before the fall, maybe that serpent who was beautiful, who now became a slithering snake, maybe serpents did talk. I don't know. Why or how or who or what, but they weren't afraid of the serpent talking because they followed what he said. And God cursed. And what did God do in the curse? He did four things. If you read that in verse 14 down to verse 18 and following, I think he said, the curse is going to have this. And I'm using these words because these are the words out of the book of Revelation. It's a combination of words, so I could give it to you. Four things to know what happened in the curse. He said, you're going to have pain to the humans, sorrow, pain, sorrow, tears, and death. Pain, sorrow, tears, and death. Work is not a part of the curse. He didn't say, now you got to go to work. Work is not a part of the curse, even though some of you think it is. No, the fall was this. You're going to have pain. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have tears. And it uses words like sweat and, you know, thorns and thistles and things like that. The earth was now their enemy. The world was now their enemy. There was enmity between them. Each other, they were fighting each other. The man with the woman were fighting. The earth with the people, they're fighting. Because there's pain, sorrow, tears, and death. And you've heard me say this so many times if you've been around here at all. Everyone in this room who's an adult has had the first three of those. Unless you're just totally deceiving yourself. Have you not all had pain? Have you not all had tears? Every one of us have a different story. There's 1,000 people listening today, and it for some people include death. You will die. Every single one of you are all going to die. Here's the thing, I can't leave you hanging. Creation of the world. There'll be a new heaven. Heard of the angels and tried to the heavens has occurred in it. Earth is going to be recreated. There's going to be a new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. And then it says in those verses that there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, and death shall be no more. It takes us straight from the creation. Later in the if you haven't believed, but before ourselves. has caused us to muddy. Back then in his how to kind of and they said these two girls went to my fairies. They said, yes, they are. Two girls said, give us your camera, Dad. Cousin took a picture of the other cousin. Four fairies, the little wing. Mom was published in a magazine. Arthur Conan Doyle. And he said, yes, it's natural, known. Fairies. Big fan of Sherlock Holmes. I've read all his books. Stop writing, and he stopped writing after that, so that I can dedicate my entire intellectuals in all the British Empire in the early 20th century. And well, it turns out in 1980 and 83, Francis and Elsie are now in their late 70s, early 80s, right? Because they were 12 years old in 1917. Both said it was a fake. We had cut out fairies, and they named the book they cut out so you could actually go to the book, and they transposed it in the dark room around it. And it was entirely fake. Well, of course it was fake. You know it was fake, I know it was fake, and most of the world knew it was fake. But there were enough people who believed the deceit that they believed there were fairies around these girls at the little pond in Cottingley, England. And can I tell you, there are people in this room, you and me and others, who believe the lie of Satan. We believe it, yet we kind of know it's not true, but we believe it. And the lie is that you can be like God. Can I tell you, you are not God. You can have relationship to God. You can know the Father. You are not the Father. It is a big lie. I don't care what you eat, what you do, what you believe, you are not God. Because God is the creator, and we are the creation. And we have sinned. And God has called us back to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life. And out of that perfection, he says, I will take your sin onto me. Because God cursed us. A part of the curse was the sin had to be paid for. And the sin can only be paid for with a perfect sacrifice. This whole thing of the Old Testament. They had to sacrifice every year because it wasn't perfect. It had to be redone every year, right? We know that story. We'll get into that later in the book. But Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice so that those who believe shall have eternal life and a relationship restored with Jesus Christ, with God, the Father, through Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God. And the question is, do you believe it? You will believe one of two things. You will believe the lie of Satan that I don't need God because I am like God. Or will you believe in Jesus Christ? Let's pray together.